So, okay, so we have, so now we know what W tangles are, okay? We knew that a long time ago, but now we know what W tangles are, and the projectivization of W tangles I will call AW, okay? And, you know, I could write, it's the circuit algebra generated by blah, 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 okay? But more precise or more concretely, it's the collection of, so if the tangle has, if the tangle is a pure tangle and it has three components, then it's, you take these three lines, skeleton lines, and you put arrows in between them, not necessarily horizontal, okay? And you mod out by, so the same relations that occurred in knot theory, sorry, in braid theory, which is, well, essentially only one relation, 4t hat, okay? The sort of commutativity of far away things, of non-intersecting things, is here kind of implicit in the way that I look at these pictures as combinatorial objects rather than as an algebraic objects. So as graphs, such diagrams are just the same if you slide things on top of each other, okay? So, sorry, it's not just 4t hat, it's also tails commute. So tails commute means that if you have along a skeleton line two tails, then you can rewrite them in any order. You can commute them, okay? That's all. Oh, so in fact, this could have been undone. And the Roman 12 relation is irrelevant because tails commute. So in fact, the Roman 12 relation would have said that this is that you can parallelize these two lines, but we could do it anyway because of tails commute. Now, had it been a non-pure tangle, so maybe there was a closed component, it would be the same, a closed component, it would be the same except you have a closed component somewhere. Okay? So, again, I want a homomorphic expansion Z going from here to here. And with such a huge introduction, it's sort of ridiculous. The definition of Z is ridiculous. Z is the same. Okay? So Z, simply, you just need to define, since it's a homomorphic expansion, it's enough to define it on the generators. There is practically only one generator. Well, okay, two. So plus or minus. Well, I mean, this is a plus, okay, but, okay? And you'll just map it to, I guess, the same skeleton, but here you'll put from the top strand to the bottom strand, you will be putting an exponential reservoir of arrows. So reservoir means, you know, either one or two or three divided by factorial of the number that you've put, e to the a. By the way, the reason I like the word reservoir for exponentials is because sort of exponentials are like huge reservoirs that have the property that if you pull out one item, it's unchanged. What you have left is the same, right? I mean, how do you pull out something? You differentiate, you single, right? But then you get the same thing. And it's a useful perspective for later when I'll do computations using differentiations. So just an aside, okay? Sorry, and it's e to the plus or minus an arrow depending on whether this is a positive or a negative crossing. One tiny thing to notice, you know, I wrote the arrow reservoir here, but what if I had written it like here? I mean, what? Why should I make this distinction even? Okay, and the answer is plus minus. Sorry. The answer is that it doesn't make any difference But it's non-trivial that it doesn't make any difference. By Tails commute. You see, I mean, strictly speaking, the second degree term, not strictly speaking, I mean, the second degree term here would be this.
Yes.
That, or one half this. The second degree term here would be one half of this. Combinatorially, these two things are not the same.
The arrows, you got the arrows wrong.
I got the arrows the right, wrong. The right. Oh, here I got the arrows wrong. No.
That was right.
That was right.
Down there is wrong.
This is wrong. Okay, sorry. So combinatorially, these are not the same thing. But modulo tails, but because right, if I move this to the other side, they get twisted. Or they get reversed more precisely. But since I have tail commutes, it is the same thing. Okay. So it doesn't matter in which order you write the arrows, basically, in an exponential. I mean, if you order them or anti-order them. Okay. So for example, what's the invariant of the trefoil? So let's take the long trefoil. So the long trefoil, I think the Gauss diagram of the long trefoil is something, I don't know, something like this. Maybe this? Okay? So really the rule is to replace every, with pluses. So the rule is to replace every arrow in the Gauss diagram by a reservoir of arrows in AW. So Z will map this to the somehow a ridiculously similar picture, namely this. But now each arrow is not a single arrow. Each line here represents a reservoir of arrows rather than a single arrow. Okay? The problem is, how do you compute this? So in principle, we've computed the invariant, right? It's valued in some combinatorial space. But how do I understand this space? What's the dimension in each degree? What is this in terms of a basis? Can I really can I decide if this is different than the trivial thing? Can I decide if this is different than the figure eight knot? Okay? So in some sense, we haven't done anything yet. Okay? We've solved the problem of finding a homomorphic expansion, but for knot theory, it did nothing. Okay? So the next thing is to understand this space AW. Okay? So temporarily, let me rename AW AAW. So it's arrows and in the W sense. Okay? So AAW is again the space of arrow diagrams modulo 4t hat and tails commute. Okay? And let me introduce a new space, ATW. So T stands for trivalent. Okay? And ATW will be the following space. So actually, for some reason, when I'm writing ATW, I like to write the skeleton horizontal. It doesn't really matter, okay? So there could be, say, two skeleton components, or seven, or some of them could be closed, but the point is that inside, instead of having just arrows, I'm also allowing, I'm still allowing arrows as before, but I'm also allowing trivalent graphs. Okay? But my trivalent graphs should be, let's see, what properties do I need? Connected to the skeleton, connected to skeleton. Ah, I think this is an empty property. I think it follows from the later ones. Never mind. So basically what I want to say is that even if you remove the skeleton, sorry, not even if you remove the skeleton, if you identify the whole skeleton to a single point, the graph that you get is connected. So in other words, no floating components. Everything connects to a skeleton. You cannot write floating components.
No anymore. Manifold components.
No manifold components, if you wish. Right. Two, all the edges, all the edges are oriented, and I'll just call such edges arrows. Okay? Instead of saying oriented edges, I'll say arrows. And three, there is a two in, one out law, which means that in any internal vertex, you have two incoming edges and one outgoing edges, one outgoing edge. Okay? And by the way, I should say that this implies that if you remove the skeleton, not identify the skeleton to a point, if you remove the skeleton, so if you remove skeleton, then each, now you get many connected components. So each connected component is, is either a tree or has one loop. Or, so, meaning has H1 equals, H1 as, graph theoretically H1, equals to Z. So has, or has just one loop. So if it's a tree, then it just looks like basically the way trees look like, but directed tree. Right? And if it has one loop, then there could be one loop. The loop itself will be oriented. Everything that comes into the loop has to be oriented inwards towards the loop. But in fact, it could be a wheel of trees. Right? I mean, you could have things like this. Okay? So it's either, so these are just wheels of tree. So it's either a tree or a wheel of trees. Okay? So, okay. Sorry. But now I want to mod out by relations. So the relations are, STU1, STU2, STU3, and anti-symmetry, and IHX. Okay? So STU1 says that the commutator of two heads is equal to, so take the commutator of two heads. So again, this means what's written here minus the way of when you flip it. Okay? It's equal to a Y. STU2 says that the commutator of a head and a tail is also a Y, except oriented the right, the only way that makes sense. So these two have to oriented so as to match, and then this has to be oriented so that two in, one out is satisfied. So this. And then STU3 says that the commutator of two tails is zero. It could be, you could say that it's a Y with a one in, two out, which is zero. Okay, I could, instead of saying this law, I could have just modded out by I could have allowed all vertices and mod out by one in, two out, And then this relation will be just be quite same. And finally, anti-symmetry. I forgot to say something. So maybe I'll add it as condition number zero here. So vertices are oriented. And all of that this means is that in every vertex there are two incoming lines, and you have to choose an ordering, which one of them is left and which one of them is right. Okay? And the anti-symmetry relation says that if you flip the orientation of the vertex, the sign flips. So I guess my convention is that if things are drawn in the plane, left is to the left and right is to the right, if you kind of come in from the direction of the outgoing vertex. So in that sense, the anti-symmetry relation just says that a vertex plus the sort of opposite vertex is equal to zero. And finally, the IHX relation says, the usual IHX relation, I is equal to H minus X, except turn it or make it orientable in the only way that makes sense. Or in fact, in any way that makes sense. So choose one and call it outgoing, and all the others have to be all the other orientations are forced. Okay? I should say that. Is it okay? I should say that this is obviously related to Lie algebras. So this is anti-symmetry, this is the Jacobi identity, and furthermore, it's not any Lie algebra, it's IG. Okay? So this is dual elements commute, this is ordinary elements have a commutator, and this is the commutator of an element with its dual is a dual element, so just adjoint representation. Okay? So this just says Lie algebras. Okay? Anyway, now there is a theorem. And the theorem, so since this is sort of where the bracket arises, like really the vertex, the internal vertex stands for the bracket in the Lie algebra, and this is where it first arises, I call it the bracket rise theorem. Okay? And the theorem says that the obvious inclusion of the AW diagrams, meaning just the diagrams without the relations, into the TW diagrams, which are just these diagrams without the relations, descends to an isomorphism like this. Okay? Furthermore, strictly speaking, I never need this, but I could, in the definition of ATW, I could have dropped anti-symmetry and IHX because they follow from the others. Okay, so I could have, it's not important. They follow from the others.
Question?
Okay?
So in the usual case, the STU relation, I don't recall exactly, but there is this fact that so the skeleton is oriented, right? And
yeah.
Somehow the sign of the STU relation depends on how the skeleton is oriented.
Sorry, all orientations are left to right. And the sign also depends. There is a sign issue here. It's the same sign issue, but the orientations are left. Things are as written when the orientations are left to right. Okay. Okay.
This is the analog of the usual case.
This is the analog of the usual case, right. And the proof is the analog of the usual proof. Mm-hmm. But maybe before the proof, let me tell you what are the consequences Okay, so the consequences are that we totally understand the space AW. Okay, so...
But you don't know the analog of the virtual, okay?
There is a bracketized theorem for the virtual case, but the resulting space is still more complicated.
This is where in your planning handout?
I don't know. Combinatorics. I guess we are in the W combinatorics
w
column.
Like V, but also with...
Okay. So, so corollary. So first of all, the corollary, and then the theorem. Okay? So, oops. Yeah, I guess I first, strictly speaking, I need the PBW theorem as well in order to derive the corollary. So let me be a little bit... So you know what? Let me. You know what? So let me state the PBW theorem, and then the corollary. So, second theorem, which also requires a proof, and this is sort of the PBW theorem in this case. So, let's define BW, okay? Or more, and this is, now it's only in the case of a skeleton which is a pure skeleton, no closed components. So let's define BW of N to be the space of the same diagrams, except instead of connecting things to the skeleton, you kind of remove the skeleton, but you remember which skeleton component it was connected to. Okay? So this is diagrams just as before, meaning, well, in practice, wheels or trees, or wheels or trees even, okay? In which the endpoints are, okay, so everything is should be oriented, but in fact in every component it's enough to mark the orientation once. In the tree components you have to say how the root is oriented, and in the wheels component you just have to indicate how the internal line is oriented, because everything else is forced. Anyway, and then the roots are labeled with numbers from 1 to n, possibly with repetitions. Okay? And this you mod out by the IHX relation and the anti-symmetry relation. And then there is a map chi which goes from BWN into AW of, I should have said, since these two spaces are isomorphic, I just drop the subscript A and T, the superscript A and T, and just call it AW back again. Okay? So there is a map into AW of a skeleton with it, which is just N lines. Okay? And the map is average over all ways of connecting the legs, so these are the legs, the ends, to corresponding components, strands. Okay, so for example, chi of this diagram one, one and two will be, well, the two has to be connected to the second tangle component, and the two ones you average over the two ways of connecting them. So it's either this or the other way around, and I didn't worry about orientations. You have to preserve the orientation of the vertex. I didn't. Okay, so it's a plus or minus, really. Okay? Okay. Sorry, average. So it's not this sum, it's half of this sum. So in general, if you have K1 ends labeled 1, K2 ends labeled 2, you'll be divided by the product of, you'll be dividing by K1 factorial times K2 factorial times K3 factorial and so on. And then summing over all permutations. So sorry, this is not yet a theorem. This is so far definitions. And now the theorem is, then chi is a vector space isomorphism. And in fact, it's a coalgebra isomorphism, but not now. Okay? So it's a precise analog of PBW. So in PBW, you have a map from S of G into U of G. So, namely, if you have an unordered word, you sum over all ways of ordering the ends, okay? But you mod out by a relation that pertains to the ordering. So xy minus yx is equal to the bracket of xy. And this is the exact same thing. So S of G plays the role of B, U of G plays the role of A, or more precisely, well, and the other way around. These are unordered ends, and these are ordered ends, but with a relation that pertains to the ordering. And the relation that pertains to the ordering is exactly like the xy minus yx is equal to the bracket. And so, sorry, so not only the statement is the same, but the proof is also the same. So you go, you essentially you go through a standard proof of the Poincaré-Birkhoff-Witt theorem, and you just translate it to pictures. Okay. Again, I could go through it, but I think it's a waste of time.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Furthermore, I think this is really the nth tensor power. The way I wrote it. Okay. I think I had another comment, but what was it? Sorry, I don't remember. Okay. So now let me, so I'll show you a corollary. Okay.
Does the map from U to W have the analog at just at the level of...
Sorry?
What's the analog on the combinatorics of the map from U to W?
I didn't talk about it yet. I could, but...
You're going to talk about it.
I will be forced to. Yeah, no. It's a necessary ingredient at some point. Yes. Okay. So, now... So I could make, okay, let me first make state the theorem in a weak form and then in a slightly stronger form. So now, sort of, now the corollary of these two theorems. So the corollary is that BW of N, which is isomorphic. Now I remember what I wanted to say. Sorry, I wanted to give you a warning, okay? The warning is that the inverse map of chi is very difficult. It's tempting to think that the inverse map of chi is just, so you know, if you have a diagram, okay? The inverse map of chi will be to just forget the two skeleton pieces. So you'll just get a thing like that, right? But this is not the case. Just like in PBW. In PBW, the inverse of the PBW isomorphism is difficult. So really what you have to do is to first symmetrize this diagram. So you use STU relations to make this a symmetric combination, and then you forget the skeleton. And that's much harder. Anyway, the corollary is that, so, well, you see, in BN, you have connected components, and each connected component is either a tree or a wheel. Furthermore, the wheels, BW of N is really the symmetric algebra, using the disjoint union operation, okay, over wheels of trees, right? So I mean the wheels are wheels of trees. Union just trees, okay, but. And these two spaces are disjoint. And of course, when I say union, I really mean, I really mean direct sum. Because things are allowed to, I'm allowing formal linear combinations. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, a wheel of trees, if you have a wheel of trees, you can always, using IHX, near an edge that links to the tree, to the wheel, make it a wheel of smaller trees. And then you can do it inductively until you get simple wheels. Okay? So, and it's provable that these wheels are unique. So there are no further relations on the wheels. Where does it? How do you prove this? I guess it's better to first say what trees are. Okay. So trees. Well, trees obviously represent elements in the Frehley algebra. So right, if you have a tree with ends with labeled ends, you can convert it into a root. You can start reading from the root and write it as an iterated bracket. So this will be the bracket of x2 with the bracket of x1 on the right and x1 x2 on the left. Okay, so it's clear what this map is. And it's clearly an isomorphism. The IHX relation here becomes the IHX relation here, and becomes the Jacobi identity here, and anti-symmetry becomes the anti-symmetry of the bracket, and that's it. And the inverse map is also obvious. So therefore, trees are just the Frehley algebra on N generators, okay? And, okay, wheels or wheels of trees are really cyclic words or are really elements of the coin variants of the universal enveloping algebra of the Frilly algebra. So coin variance means that you mod out by cyclicity, yes?
The root is label.
Oh, sorry, oops, so the root is labeled. Oh, you're right, and I messed up, you're right. I messed up. The root is also labeled.
Yeah.
So really, but the label of the root could be any one of n things. So you know, really this should have another subscript,
yeah, so
which is the label of the root. So really, it's not a single copy of the Frilly algebra. It's a, you know what, maybe, I think this is the more standard notation. So it's really the direct sum of n such copies. So it's n copies of the Lie algebra on n letters. And you're right, and I'm wrong. Sorry. And it's important, of course. Okay? Now back for the wheels. Okay? So, I claim that if you have a wheel of trees, you can start somewhere and you'll see and start following in the direction of travel, right? The wheel is oriented. So you'll see a word in the, you'll see an element of the Frilly algebra. And then you'll see another element of the Frilly algebra. And so on. Okay? So you can make out of this a word of elements in the Frilly algebra. So you'll get something in the universal enveloping algebra of Lie n. Except the beginning point was arbitrary. So if you see a word in the universal enveloping algebra, you could take the second half of it and put it in front of the first half. This is the so-called, this is what it means to take the coin variants. Right? Let me define this to mean, since coin variants are written here. So let me define this to be what it means to take the coin variants. Okay?
Can you do an example, like in the tree case, just for the wheels to be sure?
Just take this, 1, 2, 1, 1, 2, 3, 4. So this will go to, let's suppose I'm starting here. Mm-hmm. It will go to x2 bracket x1. x3, x4, and then again x2 bracket x1. So this is an element of the universal enveloping algebra of the Frilly algebra. But it's only determined up to, you could take a chunk and move it to the other way. The other side. Okay?
Okay.
And this is well defined. You see, IHX relations that occur on the trees become Jacobi identities on the Lie side, and the IHX relations that occur around the wheel become the defining relation of the universal enveloping algebra, so that the bracket of two trees is the product in one order minus the product in another order. So this is a well-defined map, and there is an obvious inverse map. So therefore, this is an isomorphism. Mm-hmm. But this is a well-known space. I mean, again, I could go through it and provide a proof, but What?
No, you can sketch.
I can skip.
Yeah, yes.
So the universal enveloping algebra of Lie N is the associative algebra on N generators, and I just mod out by you can take a left half of a word and swap it with the right half of a word. So this is just a space of cyclic words in N letters. Okay? And if I want to use notation from Alexeyev and Torossian, they just call this space Tur-N. Okay? But it just means cyclic words in N letters. So you'll get here Tur-N, and this remains the symmetric algebra. Okay?
You haven't said the corollary yet.
The corollary is... No, this is the corollary.
You've identified.
The corollary is that BW, which is isomorphic to AW, so I've identified AW to be Weyl's... I forgot one direct sum symbol. To be the symmetric algebra of Weyl's union or Weyl's and trees. And trees are, so basically completely lit-theoretic description. Okay? So, you know, we started for something completely pictorial and now it's completely freely algebras. Okay? But it's a bit stronger. So, the PBW theorem says, so, or a stronger form of this theorem is that you see, this is only a vector space isomorphism. Okay? No, I guess now I have to define the coproduct. I have to... Should I, or... I mean... You know what?
Say this is a co-algebra isomorphism, is that what you want to say?
Sorry?
Is that what you want to say, that it's a co-algebra isomorphism?
Yes. I want to say that the primitives are the...
The connected.
The connected ones, and therefore, you know, so far I've only identified the target space as a vector space, but I want to say that I can identify it as an algebra. Okay?
Oh, you don't need the co-algebra, I suppose.
I mean, if you just want to say that AW is an enveloping algebra of this, I think we can just trust you if you don't want
to. That's all I want to say, yes. So all I want to say is that if, well, B is the symmetric algebra, then A will be the universal enveloping algebra. But, you know what? So stronger version. Stronger form, and again, it could be. You have to tell me how much detail you want. This is to prove this. You need to know that there is a coproduct on these spaces, and that the PBW is a coproduct isomorphism. Sorry, a morphism, and that the Milner-Moore theorem says that the coproduct is co-commutative, and the Milner-Moore theorem says that a co-commutative Lie algebra with gradings and whatever, which all satisfy trivially, is the universal enveloping algebra of its primitives, and then you need to identify the primitives, and the primitives are just the connected diagrams. So it's a somewhat of a process, and it's completely algebraic. So maybe I should skip it and just tell you that the end result is that AW of n strands. So first of all, this is an algebra by stacking diagrams on top of each other. And the claim is that it's the universal enveloping algebra of the set of its primitives, which is written here. So direct sum trees, which is in itself equal to tur n direct sum, the direct sum of n copies of Li n. Okay? And I first have to tell you, I have to explain how this is a Li algebra. Mm-hmm. Okay? So how is this a Li algebra? Well, but using the bracket induced by mapping it in here. Okay? So what's the bracket of two trees, for example? Well, if you want to know the bracket of one tree with another tree, okay, you just embed both of them in here. So in the two possible orders, okay, and in each of here, in each case, you also have a summation over the permutations, right? And the claim is that this again can be rewritten as a combination of trees and wheels. So this again can be rewritten as some combination of just trees and wheels. Why? Because if everything was commutative, you could just slide this tree across this tree and it would cancel here. But in order to slide this tree across this tree, you have to slide ends across each other. But when you slide two ends across each other, there is an STU relation, so you'll get things like this tree superimposed on this one. And then, then you'll want to slide the next fit up and you'll get other such things. Okay? So this is the bracket structure here. Okay? Okay. So I jumped ahead a bit. So now I could do I have several. I still owe you the proof of the bracket rise theorem.
Mm-hmm. In particular, we didn't succeed to do commutators commute.
Sorry?
Commutators commute is, it was left as an exercise.
Yeah, but it's an exercise in the case where n is equal to 1.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. So I owe you the bracket rise theorem, and you know what? So this is the past, and now let me talk about the future. The future is, the next thing is to identify this as a Li algebra. So this is obviously a Li algebra as it is, because it's a direct sum of Li algebras, but the Li algebra structure that comes from here is not the Li algebra structure that you obviously see here. It's something else. So I need to tell you a bit more about this, okay? In fact, this is what Alexeyev Torossian called tether, okay? And another little direction, this is mine. And another little direction is what is it in the case of n equals 1? So if n is equal to 1, well, basically everything drops to nothing. So the Lie algebra on n things is what? Sorry, on one thing. The free Lie algebra on one thing is a one-dimensional space. You get that AW is equal to the symmetric algebra of, and this one-dimensional space is a single arrow. So it's a single arrow, right? It represents a tree, which is sort of trivial. It's a single arrow with both ends labeled 1. Cyclic words are kind of words that all have one letter, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So it, you only have to count how many does there are. So it's really the possibilities are WNs, where WN stands for a wheel with N does. So this, okay, but all N's labeled the same way. Okay, so really it's a polynomial algebra. Oh, and furthermore, it's easy to check that everything commutes. So it's really a polynomial algebra on an easy to specify list of generators. So one special generator, and then generator, and then one generator for each integer. For each positive integer. If we have an invariant coming from W naughts into this space, and we have one, then there should be a very simple-minded formula, and what is it? So it's the, you know, as we will see later, it's the Alexander polynomial. So now you have to, or essentially the Alexander polynomial. So now you have to tell me in which order we should go through things. I think the correct order is to take a break and maybe close for the day.
Yes, by the way, I want to...